The worldly power, it always has an agenda. It's always trying to grab something for itself. And it's self-aggrandizing. So it's blowing itself up to seem bigger than it is. Whereas that authentic power, the power that's inside of us, the soulful power, it doesn't need to prove anything to anybody.
Hey Zesties, welcome to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within. I'd like to give a major shout out to our zesty Jem Zhang, who is keeping me caffeinated these days. I hope you and your family are doing well, and thank you so much for listening to the show. Give my regards to your family, especially to the cuties, Yue and Ming, who have been awarded with heaps of honors, so I'm sure you're very proud, and I'm very happy for you as well. So for all of our zesties tuning in today, if you haven't already, please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. It will definitely help a lot. We can also connect on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search Gleeful Talk Show. And if you want me to stay caffeinated, you can also buy me a cup of coffee or two. Just head down to the episode notes to find out how. I've also put up a zesty survey on the episode notes so that I'll get to know you guys better and provide better content in the future. I'll choose one zesty who have filled out the survey to give 1 month subscription of Blinkist. Make sure to key in your email address on the survey. Blinkist offers key insights from top nonfiction books in a made-for-mobile format. Learn anytime, anywhere. This is not sponsored, by the way, but I do have something to share to you before we dive in. This episode is recorded via Riverside.fm.
Powered by Riverside.
It's by far the best remote podcasting platform ever. I've had my fair share of system glitches and bad recordings in the past, but Riverside doesn't disappoint, and it always delivers. The great news is that they have a new feature called Media Board. It works as a virtual sound and video board, allowing creators to insert pre-recorded content straight into the live recording session. Ideal for podcast intros, outros, jingles, theme music, and ad reads. Riverside keeps coming up with all these awesome features, so don't miss out. I do have a coupon code that you can use if you want to sign up. You'll get 25% discount in the first 3 months of subscription. Just click on the affiliate link below so that they'll know you've heard it first from me. And of course, I do earn a small commission when you use it. I truly love this platform and wanted to share it with you guys, so please don't forget to click on the link on the episode notes and use the coupon code MEDIABOARD25 upon checkout. Have you ever had moments when you said yes when you actually meant no? Do you suffer from negative thoughts, low self-worth, or self-sabotaging behaviors? You might ask, Glee, how do we cultivate happiness and hero within? Well, Zesties, we are privileged to be speaking with an award-winning author, personal transformation coach for 30 years, and acclaimed speaker who has shared his message of awakening our soulful power to many settings, including the TEDx stage. His book, Awakening the Soul of Power, has gained the praises of likes of multiple Grammy award-winning singer Gloria Estefan. Please welcome Christian De La Huerta. Hi, Christian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glee. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Christian, for coming in on the show. And yes, you have this a long list of accolades and all these inspirational messages that you are giving to the whole world. But I'm very curious to know, what life experiences did you have that led you to who you are today?
Wow, what a big question. Thank you. You know, a couple of them that I think have impacted who I am was, you know, I was born in Cuba. So I lived in a communist country for the first 10 years of my life, which is interesting that I'm writing about personal empowerment, because for your zesties who are listening here, most of them realize that in a communist regime, in a totalitarian, dictatorial country, the state pretty much owns you and decides everything what you do and owns all your property and everything. And also, I was raised in a very Catholic family, which is another power structure that's power over. It's very hierarchical, where you're pretty much told what to believe and what's right and what's wrong. And the only access you have to the sacred is through the intermediary of the church or a priest. So, you know, be that as it may, it's interesting that I am writing about personal empowerment and what it means to live a heroic life. And one of the messages of my book is that no matter what environment we come out of, no matter what our past traumas, that we can always figure out a way to step into our power. I was painfully, painfully shy as a teenager to the degree that I was a good student, you know, which is one of the benefits of having been raised in a communist country, is that we had a TV, but there was nothing worth watching. The programming wasn't good. It was mostly government propaganda, some old American movies from the 50s or whatever it was, you know, when I grew up in Cuba. And I was a good student, so I developed a lifelong love affair with books. And when we came to the States in high school, I had pretty much all A's, you know, like the highest grades, except in my last year of high school, of secondary school, I got a 1B. Which was enough to knock me out of the top slot. And I didn't do this intentionally. But looking back on it, I know that I subconsciously sabotaged my grade point average so that I wouldn't have to get up in front of a room of hundreds and hundreds of people and deliver the valedictorian speech. At that point in my life, there is no way, there's absolutely no way that I could have done that. And I know that you personally, Rhea, appreciate this story as a fellow introvert.
Yes.
And the point of the story is really the only reason that I share it is because these days, and I speak all over the world. I've spoken on the TEDx stage. I've spoken at many, many universities and churches and conferences. And so that I know that there is a way that we can overcome our fears and transcend whatever obstacles we have allowed to hold us back from being all of who we are.
Yeah, actually, when we first connected with each other, I was a bit scared, actually, because I'm an introvert, I'm nobody and stuff. And then this award-winning author and TEDx speaker will be on the show, so I was very scared at the same time. But then when I read your book and when I was emailing you and all of these things, I can really resonate with the book, and you have this very calming demeanor, I say, to that it makes people talk to you be calm, I feel. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And I want to ask you a favor, Glee.
Okay.
Never, ever, 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 ever would you ever use that phrase "I am nobody" ever again, mm-hmm. right? Because that just isn't true. We are, all of us, we're magnificent creations. We're miracles of creation. It's just that we have allowed conditioning and misunderstandings about who we are. You know, like we misheard things as children, or maybe our parents said something in a moment of overwhelm and they reacted and said something to us the wrong way. And we misunderstood that. We took that on as if there was something wrong with us. Or maybe our parents got separated or they got divorced. And as little minds that didn't know any better, we took that on as if it was our fault. Like, how could daddy leave? How could daddy leave us? And didn't he love us? And what does that say about me? Am I not worthy of being loved? And we make all these big conclusions about who we are that had nothing to do with us, that were just nothing but misunderstandings of young minds that didn't know any better. And the immense human potential that everyone has, every one of us, no matter where we live, no matter what we do, that inherent value has nothing to do with that. And that's part of the reason that I wrote this book, is to help each and every one of us get through those misunderstandings from childhood and step into our power. And,
yes.
And thank you. Thank
yes.
you for your courage in doing this.
Thank you so much, Christian. And yes, the awakening, the soul of power. So what is the soul of power, or what does soulful power mean to you?
Yeah, good question. You know, most of us have an ambivalent relationship with power. We're conflicted about it. Part of us wants it. Part of us is afraid of it. And I've spoken to many people that as we get deeper and deeper into what's going on with that, we fear that if we really stepped into all of our potential, like if we really stepped into our power, that other people wouldn't be able to like us, wouldn't be able to accept us, and that we might end up alone. We also fear that we might abuse that, we might cause harm, and no wonder. All we have to do is turn on the news on any given day and witness at least one abuse of power, and oftentimes many more than that. We've also been conditioned to believe that power is a bad thing. You know, we've heard quotes like, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But what they didn't tell us about that quote from Lord Acton is that he was speaking specifically about political power, not personal power. And then add to that mix the fact that we've been conditioned to fear the emotions. We hate conflict. We avoid confrontation. We've labeled the emotions weakness. When the emotions aren't weakness, the emotions are not good. They're not bad. They're not strength. They're not weakness. They're just energy. Like everything else, what used to be spiritual teaching that everything is energy. Now we know from quantum physics that it's true. That means the body, the emotions, everything is energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. So we can only suppress it. We can only like stuff it. And so when you add all that together, what happens is that we end up giving our power away. Our innate, inherent power, no one can give to us. No one can take it away. We are the only ones who can give it away. And the sad part is that we give our power away for sad reasons, for lame reasons. We settle for less. We say yes when inside we feel no. We play small for an illusion of security, for a false sense of acceptance, and for crumbs, for morsels of pseudo love, because it's not even authentic love that we're settling for.
Yeah, that's really true. Like when you said about like you just want to be small, I really had those moments. Like even now, like I'm an adult, and even when I was a child, so there are moments that I struggle whether, oh, do I really want to, like when I started the podcast, I wanted a podcast art that is very subtle, not eye-catching, because I don't want to be seen, but I want to send a message. But then I realized that it's not really me. Like, I'm a simple person, but having a colorful art or something doesn't really mean that. There's a lot of things that went through my head. That's why I changed my branding and all that stuff, because initially I do not want to be seen, but now I have like colorful logos and stuff. So I have those kinds of power struggles. So how do we get out of these kind of instances?
And that's another example, Glee, because when I was researching you and your podcast, I couldn't find a photograph about you. And now that I see you on this podcast interview, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. So what are you doing hiding yourself? Like, cut it out. Like, and I totally get it. I totally understand that. I was that way too. And the thing is that we've been confused. We've been conditioned to believe that to be all of who we are, to like really shine, that is arrogance. And when we think about it, here's a way to reframe that. There isn't anybody out there who has the same genetics, who has the same set of experiences that make us who we are, that make us unique. Like, we're one of a kind. There isn't anybody in this universe or any other universe that has those genetics and experiences. So if we don't give full expression to that human potential, nobody else is gonna do it. Ain't nobody else gonna do that anywhere. So when I think about that, when I think about the times in which we live, from my perspective, it's all hands on deck. The planet will be fine. It might take a few million years, but life will continue in some form. Even you could say the consciousness will continue as it finds itself to evolve. You know, maybe it turns out to be a conscious, enlightened cockroach planet. Who knows, right? Whether we make it, that's the question. Because it's just now that we're beginning to witness whatever it is that we have unleashed on the environment. So when we look at it from that perspective, and we think about the potential that each one of us has, like any one of us has the slightest suspicion that we have work to do, that we have a work to do as teachers, as healers, as activists for change, like you're doing through your podcast. It's like, how dare we play small? So it's like, to me, that's the arrogance. In these times, it's what we're being called to do is to shine our light as bright as possible so that we can be that beacon in the darkness, in the fog, and that somebody will at some point might hear something that comes out of our mouth, or they might hear some message through your podcast that's going to be just what that person needed to hear, that then is going to take them on that journey of really realizing their potential.
It's very inspirational. And the thing is that, as you said, like we tend to be playing small and it's like cheating ourselves, right?
Yes.
It's like, yeah. And you talk a lot about personal power, especially in this book, not other kinds of power like political power and such. So how do we not sell out of our personal power? Like when we tend to succumb to those instances that we cheat ourselves, how do we maybe come out from drowning, I'd say?
Yeah, beautiful question. And so a couple of things that come to mind. One of them is understanding, we started to talk about, that there are different kinds of power and that there is a way that we can step into our power that doesn't require that we push anybody down, because that's the problem with these hierarchical power over organizations and structures. You know, they require for somebody to be on top and somebody to push somebody down. So that's why good-hearted people don't want to do that. We don't want to abuse others. We don't want to abuse power. We don't want to be corrupted by power. So those are the reasons that we tend to give our power away. But what's important to realize that there is a way that we can step into our power that doesn't require that we push anybody down, that we step on them, that we control them by fear or by force or domination, that we push anybody down and put our knee to their neck so that we prop ourselves up and feel powerful. There's the way that we can step into our power that is congruent with the good people that we are. And so that's the whole message of the book, like realizing that there's a difference between worldly power, how the world relates to power, and spiritual power or soulful power. So some of the differences, for example, worldly power, we tend to associate power with people who have money, who are famous, who are part of some kind of organization or hierarchy, whether it's corporate ladder or some kind of religious hierarchy or organizational structure. But the thing about those powers is that they're all outside of us. They're external. So they're here today, gone tomorrow. Whereas the other kind of power that I'm talking about is inside us. Nobody can give it to us. Nobody can take it away, as we were saying before. We are the only ones who can give it away, and that we give it away for all the wrong reasons. One, you know, the worldly power, it's always has an agenda. It's always trying to grab something for itself. And it's self-aggrandizing. So it's blowing itself up to seem bigger than it is. Whereas that authentic power, the power that's inside of us, the soulful power, it doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. It just is, and it's humble. And it's about service. It's about making a difference. So think of a Gandhi or a Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings and their simple monastic robes, their sandal feet. You would never know how much power they hold until it's necessary, until it's called for. And when we think about it, Gandhi brought the British Empire to its knees when it was at its highest point in terms of global influence and global reach without ever shooting a gun or landing a single punch. Talk about power. That's the power that brings about global change and shifts the power structure in terms of an empire. And that's the kind of power that each of us has access to. Like, it's inside of us.
Beautiful, really beautiful. And when I hear the word power, it's like equates to being like a hero. So what is heroism for you in this day and age?
Yeah, and that's a beautiful question, because I'm also an unlikely person to be speaking about what heroism is, because I was so painfully shy. And that's, this book is the first of a series of three books. The title of the series is Calling All Heroes, because I think we're all being called to step into what that means, what living heroically means in the 21st century. And up until recently, most of us, when we thought of the word hero, we thought of, you know, superhero with a cape, a Superman, a Wonder Woman. Or maybe we thought about, you know, first responders, warriors, firefighters, that kind of thing. COVID, ironically, has expanded the way that we think about what heroism is. So now we include in that word, we include in that category our healthcare practitioners, our doctors, our nurses, our respiratory therapists, who literally put their lives at risk to take care of the rest of us and continue to do so in these times of the global pandemic. And then maybe we even included the grocery store clerks or delivery people who also placed their lives at risk in order to keep the rest of us fed and provided for. And so what about the rest of us, though? We're like, what does that mean for us to live heroically? And so that's what the series is about. Like, how do we step into heroism? Maybe we don't have a horse hitched outside. Maybe we don't have the armors. Maybe we're not fighting demons except the ones inside our own heads. And that's what this book is about. What does it mean to look at our own fears, like the traumas that we have all overcome, to be willing to look inside and to ask the difficult questions, like, why do we do the things we do? Why do we get stuck in these patterns of behavior? In what situations do we give our power away? What are the patterns? Do we tend to give give our power away in romantic, intimate, sexual relationships? Or maybe do we tend to give our power away in relationship to authority figures? Parents, bosses, cops, military officers, coaches, religious figures. And asking those questions are hard. Or, you know, asking questions like, why do we get into these patterns of relationship that sometimes feel like we're in the same boring movie, but just with a different actor, with a different lead actor, but yeah, with the same kind of relationship patterns. And so at some point we have to get honest and we have to get courageous and we have to realize that there is only one common denominator in every one of those relationships and in every one of those power struggles and in every one of those conflicts that we get, and it's us. And so having the courage to look inside and to understand why we do the things we do and understand what triggers us, it's hard work and it's nothing short of heroic, and it is so worthwhile because the possibility, what becomes possible is freedom. And so that we can have the kind of relationships that we really long for, and we can have a life filled with meaning and purpose and a sense of personal empowerment. So it's, yes, it's tough work. Yes, it requires work to go within, and it becomes empowering. Everything becomes possible. We can have the lives of our dreams when we're willing to do that.
Yes, very good. Because it needs for us to be aware of ourselves so that we can question those things that you mentioned, because sometimes we can't even question ourselves because we're not aware of it.
Right.
Right.
It's like being afraid of speaking in public because of stuff that happened when I was a kid, you know, because of ways that I was raised, things that we were conditioned by. And so whatever the trauma was, it's not to minimize anybody's trauma. We've all dealt, you know, had to deal with stuff that shouldn't have happened and that sucked. But here's the thing. If we're on a journey of personal empowerment, as long as we're holding somebody outside of us or some system outside of us responsible for our state of being, right? If only mom hadn't done this or dad had been that way, if it had only been for that teacher, whatever they said to us when we were a kid, or the minister or society or sexism or racism or homophobia, if it only wasn't for that, then I would be happy. Then I would be in my power. Then I would have meaning and purpose. We just gave our power away. Right, we're holding something outside of us responsible for how for our lives. That's completely disempowering, and it's not to minimize anything that happened, and it's not to deny that there are systems that are inherently unfair, and that some of the systems in the world are stacked against some people. So it's not to minimize any of that, it's not to deny any of that, but it's to say that if we want to step into our power, we've got to own that we have a choice. Right? That it sucked. There are things that happened that sucked, and that we can count on life continuing to throw curveballs our way, right? Things that we just didn't see coming, and things that may not be even be fair. So as long as we can say, you know what, that sucked, I wish that hadn't happened, and how will I be in response to that? What am I going to do about that now? Right? That completely reframes everything and allows us to reclaim our power in every single situation.
Yeah, it's truly taking ownership of your life and your actions, right?
Yes.
Very beautiful message.
That's it. You just reframe that as no matter what happened, get to decide how we show up in response to that.
Yeah. I'm very curious. What inspires Christian de la Huerta the most?
Since I was a kid, I've always had a sense of mission. Like, I always knew that I was here to help others, to make a difference, to serve the sacred, you know, which at different points in my life looked differently. When I was a kid and I was raised in that very Catholic environment, I thought I wanted to be a priest. And, you know, realized in my teenage years that that religion didn't have room for me. And so I had to find different ways of expressing that desire to make a difference, to serve humanity, to serve the sacred, to serve the universe. And, you know, there's one of my favorite quotes, and I'm rephrasing it, it's from Einstein. You can't solve a problem from the same level of consciousness in which it was created. So when I look at the world that we live in and all the problems that we face that sometimes feel like impossible, And when I think about how are we ever going to dig ourselves out of this hole that we have collectively dug ourselves into, you know, and how do we even begin to talk to somebody like from a different culture, a different religion? How do we connect with a terrorist that doesn't even think I'm human? How do we begin to deal with this environmental crisis that we're just now beginning to witness the effects of? And so when I think about all that, I just think, you know what? It's the only way out. It's a spiritual revolution, a revolution in consciousness, a leap in evolution in terms of consciousness. And so when I think about that, I think, what can I possibly do, me personally? And I think, you know what? The only thing that I can do, because what am I going to do about the environment by myself is not much. But what I can do is continue to heal myself and wake myself up and to help as many others do the same. And that's what we can all do.
Oh, thank you so much, Christian, for all that you do. It's very inspiring. I'm very excited for the next two series of the book. When is it coming?
This first one is out. Then the next one is on relationships specifically. So like the first one is how does a hero step into power in a way that is congruent with who we are, that is not about abuse or hierarchy or power over. Like how do we do power in a different way that's power with? And so the next book is on relationships. Like how does a hero do relationships consciously? How do we approach them in a different way? And how do we do them in a way that they can work, that they can actually work? That one is probably going to come out in this around Valentine's of 2022, Valentine's Day 2022. And the third book is about life purpose. Like, how do we really step into what we've come here to do at a mission level, at a soul level? And how do we stop playing small and hiding our light under a bushel? And so that'll be the year after that.
Great. And I love the sequencing, actually, because it's like knowing yourself first and then, you know, like relationships with others, and the next one is like the bigger picture.
Exactly.
That's how I see it. So it's very good.
Exactly. You nailed it. That's exactly the progression as I see it too.
Great. And I have a few fun questions before we wrap up.
Sure.
Not really seriousness. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. Okay. So if you could have an unlimited storage of one thing, what would it be?
Oh my God. I guess it would be love, huh? Isn't that ultimately what we all long for and what we all are? Like once you cut through all the BS, that's what's inside each of us. And that's what changes the world. And not a Hallmarky, you know, airy-fairy kind of love, but love as fierce and the most powerful force in the universe.
Mm, I tried to make it fun, but I think everything about you is just very so deep. But I love it. I love it very much.
I forgot it was a fun question.
But yeah, most of the time, actually, I tell the guests like, I have a fun question for you. But it turns out the answers are really, really deep, which really is resonating with everyone as well, and especially with my audience.
Go Zesties.
Yeah. And other than writing and inspiring people, what are you most passionate about?
I think what we were talking about before, about making a difference. And, you know, I am so humbled that the work that I do, like my retreats, my coaching, my virtual coaching programs, my writing, that it actually makes a difference in real human lives. And I'm glad that I don't have to choose between my soul level mission, my work, and having sex. But if I had to choose, I'm very clear of that there's no question that I would choose my purpose, because to me, that is what gives me my deepest meaning, my deepest satisfaction.
Awesome. And you mentioned about your coaching. This is not part of the fun question, but it just got me curious that what is the most heartwarming message that you've received with your trainees or your mentees in your program?
Oh my God, what a beautiful question and what a hard, difficult one, because there's so many.
I know.
So many, but here's one that always touches my heart. Here's a woman who was in her 50s, like a really high-powered, brilliant executive, like vice president of a multinational corporation at the highest levels. And yet in her personal life, she had never had a real meaningful loving relationship. Of course, she'd had many relationships, but not the kind of relationship that she really longed for, where she could be met by a partner, by somebody who was really going to see her and both respect her, honor her, and also challenge each other to be the best that they could be. And so she did a couple of retreats with me, probably two or three retreats. And on the third retreat, she had this realization because of some childhood trauma, that she had seen herself trapped in this room and realized that she had always given the power away to this abuser, and realized that she was the only one who could let herself out. And in this breathwork session, in the middle of this retreat, she opened the door out of this room and let herself out. And so that was the culmination of many healing opportunities that led to that moment. And that's what I mean by heroism. Like, for her to get to that point, she'd had to like remember stuff that wasn't fun to remember, that was really difficult to remember. She'd had to face herself. She had to face her fears. But it was so worth it, because like 2 days later, she was having lunch with a friend after she had that liberating experience where she set herself free and let herself out of this room. And she was having lunch with a friend, and the friend said, "Oh yeah, you know what? I don't know why I hadn't thought of this, but this guy that you need to meet, this friend I need to meet, I think you guys are gonna like each other." Long story short, last year in the middle of the pandemic, you know, they came down, and it was just a very small wedding, and we had all been tested. I married them. And it was like just the two of them and one of her sister and her brother, and that was it. And so she found like the relationship of her life, like her life partner. And now they, you know, they live together in a beautiful house on a beautiful lake, up in a beautiful private lake. And so that's what's available to any of us when we're willing to do this difficult work, of this heroic work. It is so worthwhile.
Wow, that was a very heartwarming, like, it's like happily ever after.
Yeah. And of course, you know, no, there is no perfect relationship. And of course, relationships require work, but it is so worthwhile. So happily ever after, but not in this, you know, Hallmarky,
not in the fairy tale,
not a Disney princess sort of way. It's like it's a different way. It's like we all get to empower ourselves, and nobody can do it for us. And this difficult work, this heroic work that we're talking about, this willingness to face ourselves and face our inner demons, and to look at these difficult patterns and ask ourselves the difficult questions: why do we do the things we do, and why do we get stuck in these patterns of behavior, of self-sabotage, and why do we get stuck in these power struggles? There is an answer, and there is a way out, no matter what happened and no matter what happened. So for all the Zestes out there, thank you for being willing to look inside and to do the work, the heroic work of empowering ourselves and freeing ourselves.
Thank you, Christian. And please invite the Zestes. Where can they find the book, and where can they find you?
Yeah. And thank you, Glee, for having me on the show. And thank you for your heroic work, right? I know what it is to be introverted, and I know the courage that it must have taken for you to take on the facilitating a podcast. In you doing that, and you stepping into, and you overriding your fear and saying yes to the call of your soul to take this project on, you're making a difference. Lives are being changed. So thank you so much for that. And in terms of where to find the book, they can find it on Amazon. They can find it at a local bookstore. They just need to order it. And in terms of getting in touch with me, they can go to my website, soulfulpower.com. And from there, they can access my different social media. And any of the Zesties out there listening, if they get on my email list, and it's easy to unsubscribe if it doesn't work for you, but just for getting on my email list, now if they go to my website, they'll get a sample chapter from the book, so they get a taste of it. They get some power practices, which are designed to apply the teachings to our lives, to integrate them. Because we don't need more information. You know, we're all an information overload. What we need is transformation. And that's what those teachings are designed to do, to apply them to our own situations, to our own lives. And then they'll also get a guided meditation and a teaching about trust, which is what we're all longing for too in these times of dramatic change and chaos and uncertainty.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Christian, for being on the show. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
Hi, Zesty. I hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from the conversation as much as I did. I loved how Christian's message resonated with this podcast. What are your key takeaways from today's episode? I'm also curious about your answer to the question. If you have an unlimited storage of one thing, what would it be? Let me know in the comment section on Instagram or message me at gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you.